Okay, it is Friday, October 13th, 2023. It's 5:13 p.m. I am in bumper-to-bumper traffic in Kailua, Kona, Hawaii. Just got done with a Costco run, have Halloween candy and all sorts of stuff packed up for school and for myself. And so, etheric symptoms today. Well, the last couple of days, you know, I've seen, as I saw the sunset, you know, this golden, you know, this orangish golden disc brightly burning, going into the ocean. It was an extraordinary scene. And I gotta pull over. Hang on. I'm gonna pause. There's a paramedic behind me. Okay, got past that. All right, I'm sorry, I'm gonna be all over the place. You know, my mindset has not been the greatest. This has been a very, very difficult week. Monday and Tuesday were just hellacious. Sunday night, I was in a daze most of the day, you know, 90 beats per minute for like 6, 8 hours, 10 hours almost straight. The most painful conscious sensations I've had. Back in May or so, there were nights, you know, mornings that I woke up and I observed the tail end of basically this energy, this negative, death-seeking energy, inflating and moving into all parts of my body that it could. And with my whole torso in pain, and the pain greatest, I got the periphery where the, let's say, the pressure of the balloon is maybe perceived at the perimeter or the periphery of the volume of the surface area, and then pain in my joints, and it's not so much the gusts, these winds that seem to blow out from my heart. Are pretty much mostly contained within my torso, and then it's through these spires from my joints that come out and then plant themselves into other areas of my extremities, combined with etheric barbs from the envelope that I'm encapsulated in. That's a part of her, you know, one of the succubuses, you know, in terms of sharing or co-opting or, you know, eclipsing my own subtle body, has some of the same, you know, it's a parallel symmetrical system. You know, it is supposed to be complementary and a blessing, but in my situation, it's the opposite of all of that. And, you know, I asked for it. You know, I can say, you know, arrogantly, I'm taking one for the team. I've always wanted to do things really to my satisfaction. You know, the initial awakening of Kundalini, I didn't have much choice in the matter. I was begging for more, something greater than my current state of perception, something alluded to or, you know, depicted in, you know, the experiences of a Ramakrishna or, you know, some of these other folks that I had read about, you know, Gopi Krishna, etc. But I it wasn't something that I invited consciously. I mean, I didn't know really what I was inviting. I just wanted more. You know, I wasn't happy. I knew that I was in a limited state and I wanted grace. I didn't, you know, anyways. But, you know, I use my own judgment, you can say to my detriment, but, you know, saying no to the Holy Spirit that those fateful two nights back in early 2019, I did not trust having a heart-centered consciousness, not with my EMF sensitivities. And having been wrapped up in that metal box for the preceding 6 months and this astral body invading me or descending into me to merge with me, You know, I was having none of it because in the, how many years was it? 1994. So that would be 10, 20, 20 in 25 years, nothing but isolation worked for my feeling good on this, in this world, in terms of exposure to man-made EMF. It's only the cessation of that. And the metal box was not an answer. And so I was not, and I am not, convinced that God and the Holy Spirit have the answer on this. You know, my own individual life will be collateral damage in this, and so be it. But I have important information, you know, it would get a wider audience, except the Google algorithms don't like my, you know, so-called conspiracy mindset, which is just truth, you know, using my own divine discernment, or as divine as I am able, you know, I mean, I can't say I've ever been inspired to say, you know, God, look, I'm weak right now. I'm just saying that, these so-called prophets from the past, they're trying to make sense of the world through, you know, using whatever building blocks they have available to them. And, I can't say I ever really intuited that the world is, the universe is just this disparate mass of expanding material and black matter or whatever that nonsense that we're being sold by science is. And it's not even science. You know, the dark co-opting of mental aspiration. I'm now, having gotten more information, I'm rather neutral and more inclined to say that, you know, my experience says that we live on a plane. Something like a plane. Or as this guy Crow777 says, you know, who's on to a lot of questioning that is relevant and helpful. And he's not the only one, of course. But the worldview that we've inherited, or that the public education system, or that the Rockefeller and, Rothschild and elite family control systems that have co-opted and infested our institutions and governments, the knowledge that they're seeking to pass down, or it's the Vatican or whoever, that information is not supported by a reasoning, you know, a reasoning use of actual verifiable information. I mean, the world that we have is not the world that's described by so-called science. It's actually probably more biblical, you know, whatever the ancients viewed, you know, or being a closed system, etc., is with there actually being a firmament, you know, which would explain the very strange kind of L-shaped trajectories or arcs of these, like SpaceX and all these other rocket ships that I've seen. They go up for a little bit and then they curve basically parallel with the surface of the Earth. You know, they can't, it's obvious they can't go beyond at some point. And, and it goes on and on and on. That's not what this post is about. That's not what my area of expertise is to say, you know. And again, coming back at that point I was trying to make is, a human may be inspired to some extent, or some people would say, oh, they've got access to the Akashic record. I don't know about that. Whatever the heck that means, you know, I can't say I don't care about this so-called Akashic record. I don't have a whole lot of buy-in into that. My intuition from the very beginning is that all of your energy has to go into spiritual knowledge, spiritual path, the realization of God and the illumination of the body mind and the transcendence and the transfiguration of that body into light, thus overcoming death itself. That's, if you get that far, or you know you're right on the edge of that, that your life has that as its end point, then go ahead, play around with like these worldviews and these other things that are actually not that important. And ultimately, they're not important. What's important is expressing love and being a vehicle for God consciousness and for assisting in the illumination, the cessation of suffering, the reduction of suffering, being a fulcrum, a catalyst, a point of inspiration where people can see that God has manifested. There it is. It's walking. You can feel it. You sense it. You know that the divine has appeared. That's what it's about. And it's not ego. I mean, if you're residing in your chest, that's, you know, grace has put you there, then you know what? There's not a whole lot of mental shenanigans that ought to be in play at that point. But even then, you're not perfect, right? I mean, I would imagine not. But, and there's relative levels of realization, and probably each body mind has different areas where it may excel or be particularly gifted as an instrument in that area of human endeavor, or articulation or manifestation of a particular aspect of the divine here on earth. So there's, you know, there's gonna be some variances, but there's gotta be some commonalities, some basic tenets of what a human being can look for confirmation that what they're seeing is and feeling is the real deal. So, and this latte that I had is kind of wearing thin here. Yeah, the week has been fucked. You know, I was expecting, this is a week break, and I have so much to do. I have 3 times the amount of special education paperwork in this current assignment that I've had in the last 10 years. Hawaii IEPs, this document that you create for kids identified with special needs is double, at least double the time consumption in terms of the documentation and the whatever else has got to be done with this thing compared to California. And then my current school compared to the last school is just unreal. It's a sick culture. And there's reasons for it. You know, we're under the gun to be, you know, forcibly achieving, you know, really beyond our ability, beyond what's reasonable, micromanaged to the nth, etc. But it's a job, and I got to hang in there, you know, this year and 7 more in order to, avoid this penalty that I otherwise would get from Social Security. It has to do with my taking a retirement from the California retirement system, blah, blah, blah. You know, I instead of getting half of my Social Security, I'll get 100% of it. Whatever is available in 8 years, you know, I think all bets are off. All, you know, when a country or a state or a municipality goes bankrupt, all the obligations go into the shitter. Some you know, bankruptcy judge somewhere, you know, adjudicates all this stuff, and they'll say, well, you know what, the government, whatever agency, whatever it is, whoever, you know, agent, whatever you work for, they can only pay you 40 cents on the dollar or 30 cents on the dollar, and, you know, take it or leave it. And I think that's already happened, like in Detroit, some other cities that I think went bankrupt, and retirees got the shaft. And so a lot of my future well-being financially hinges upon the financial solvency of California and the state of Hawaii. Hawaii has, my understanding, has the worst funding, level of funding of any state in the country. And that means, you know, its obligations, you know, the promises versus its assets or revenue is the weakest. That means it's most likely to renege or to go belly up. But if it continues to spray as it's been doing and burn down, places like Lahaina as it's done, with the death that occurred there, I mean, it's, maybe it will. You know, it will be able to pay the bills. As, Catherine Austin Fitz has said, you know, if depopulation is highly deflationary, you know, so maybe that is going to be, that is a part of the banker's plan, is to balance their books with a great die-off. We'll see. I'm doing what I can. I had my fifth chelation today with EDTA. I've read a number of places that it's supposed to do a good job, a great job, with breaking down synthetic structures and helping the body to excrete heavy metals that don't belong in the blood. It's supposed to help cleanse the blood when, you know, especially with certain agents or synthetic organisms, whatever, and these synthetic structures, graphene, whatever, molds, bacteria, whatever might be in our blood from the vaccines or what we're inhaling, it's supposed to help with that. This group I'm working with, I've asked them to get a dark field microscope and get trained in that, because that does give you images of the blood that's alive, and you can look at the clumping or, you know, the healthy appearance of blood and of the red blood cells, and then of what other material might be in there. But they don't have that, so I've been feeling pretty good from it. I don't like the idea of, have sticky needles in my veins and shooting me up with stuff that doesn't really belong in there. But between my job and my, this internal conflict and my own karmic tendencies in terms of using food, abusing food, it's been next to impossible for me to fast to the... To the degree necessary to purify me. I mean, I need to be doing a 10-day fast 4 times a year. No reason why I can't do it, except that I'm not. You know, I get weak. I've got this fucking thing in me that tweaks my heart and makes my whole esophagus just flare up with, like, acid and, all this stuff. And it's just hard for me to, and food is like a recourse, you know, for me to try to ground or wash out and put me into a solid place to, like, move forward. And it's actually not the right response when you have a succubus, you know, a negative spirit in you. it's a higher order of pathogen or toxin, and just wanton eating is counterproductive in terms of dealing with it. One second. I guess one more aside when I get back, before I get back to the etheric symptoms I wanted to describe. I'm gonna have I want to have a little post on this this notion. I have these some little short paragraphs that describe different aspects of what I've been dealing with, and one of them I want to do is basically a comparison of two orders of energetic presence, or two orders of relational existence. One being the gastrointestinal tract, stuffing food in your mouth, chewing it, salivating on it, swallowing it, processing it all through GI tract, and excreting it through your kidneys and through your anus. All right, that's pretty gross. That's food. That's your material intake. But right in front of that, the frontal line that opens up, in my experience, through your demonstrating mastery of the Kundalini energy and listening and following the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you would participate in initiating the opening of the frontal line. Now, there's different levels of it, different ways of doing it. I think Shaktipat from a master is supposed to be one. It's hard for me to believe that would be of an equivalent force. But, masters exist for a reason. And I'm sure different masters can do, or have varying levels of success. Because I do believe that, a fully enlightened, full whole body enlightened human ought to be a catalyst for the enlightenment of others. Almost directly. I think you need, there are probably still some caveats about readiness and kind of an organic, psychosexual, emotional, physiologic preparedness, karma, whatever. Although, you would think that someone who's actually, operating from the heart and is just a walking manifestation of grace and blessing ought to be able to obviate or transmute most of the karma around him or her. But anyways, if this frontal line's open, as it is in me, although not fully this whole other conversation, but it's there. I did at least assist in the initial opening of this thing, this pathway, this level of relation in the world. And that parallels and is just in the front of the gastrointestinal line. So, coming down through the crown, the center of the brain, the down through the thyroid, the thymus gland, brachial plexus, solar plexus, then down into the coccyx or whatever, the prostate or the ovaries, whatever. It's in front of the GI tract, and basically, and if not physiologically in front, then at least but it is largely, it's a perceived line of energy. I don't know if it follows your nerves, your endocrine system, some combination of those. I'm not. It's all. It's a bunch of stuff, in all likelihood. But it's a higher order. It's a more evolved form of sustenance, because energy comes through etheric energy to sustain you, comes through both the bindu point of your solar plexus and as grace through your crown. I mean, that's a starting point for a discussion of this. And both of those are in order of magnitude more subtle than, you know, stuffing your face with hamburgers and, bananas. And so yeah, so this paragraph I wanted to write, I'll get around to it, hopefully. I did a little bit of editing of like old posts of mine on my website. So if I live long enough, I'll clear up and make more coherent some of the posts that are there. You know, what's that artist name? Kind of this macabre. What's his name? Kind of a dark, it'll come to me. Anyways, this guy used to always say, he was a gay guy. He wore furs to the opera in New York, apparently, and an eccentric, evolved, kind of very interesting, non-sexual person, really. I mean, maybe he was, you know, he was gay, but I don't think he really acted upon much of anything. Just he pretty much internalized most of whatever was going on with him. Edward Gorey. Bless Edward Gorey. But he said that you should, you know, it was quality over quantity at all times. You only want to share what is the best about you. So rather than this culture we have, or like my website, in many ways, you know, you want to just put stuff that's very clear, that represents the best of you, and all the stuff that's not ready for prime time, that hasn't been polished, keep it to yourself. You know, you don't want to dilute your message with a bunch of trash, with a bunch of half-assed, half-conceived material. You know, don't waste people's time with that. You know, so anyways, so I hope to continue to polish what I have up there on the web. Not that the Google or the algorithms let much of any of it out. I'd say since 2016 or so, there's been a 95%, 98% reduction in traffic sent to my site from, the major search engines. It's actually more than that, and it wasn't just 2016. The clampdown preceded that. Back in 2003, 2004, 2005, that was the heyday was back then, where I got literally 500 times the traffic that I get now. And that was when fewer people were using the internet. I was getting referrals for just about everything. Everything that I had as a keyword, it was getting hits for, not anymore. So the beginning of the paragraph would be a couple pictures. You know, I want to just, the juxtaposition of the gastrointestinal tract and this divine descent of energy, the grace, the frontal line, would be. There's a famous picture. I forget the guy's name. I was trying to think of it. I didn't have time to look it up today. But, you know, Hiroshima Bosch, I don't know, whatever this guy's name. Oh, heck. And it's a picture of like a giant or some large human-like creature holding up like a human body, but like the head and the arms kind of bitten off, and he's got it taking a bite off of like the neck and, you know, working his way on the body. Yeah, maybe he's three or four times the size of this body that it's holding. Just probably depicting a giant or something, eating a human. And, you know, if not that, then just a picture of some fat person stuffing themselves way beyond their need or comfort level with food. You know, like some fat guy wearing a bib, you know, stuffing his face with like the most disgusting food served by McDonald's or some other fast food enterprise. Oh, I'm looking at a rainbow right now. Good. So you got those two pictures of just the negative aspect of eating food. Because for most people, they don't eat when they're hungry, at least the modern person. With all this factory-produced food now, food's available 24 hours a day. There's no rhyme or reason to when we eat. We eat all the time. We eat too much. We eat food that's not good for us. We eat food that stimulates us with this, you know, refined carbohydrates and you know, chemical additives and flavorings. And then the picture next to that, you know, would be like a versus the frontal line would just be a, you know, picture of like a standing or a seated spiritual person, spiritual meaning they look, you know, lean and erect and focused, but then a white light. Some depiction of a heavenly descent of energy coming into the crown and illuminating the body. And that's what you're doing. That is exactly what is going on here in terms of my dilemma, because I don't play, I've been unwilling or unable to play by the rules, God's rules, and then this girl is like a machine. She really is. She's doing pretty much exactly what God tells her to do. You know, there's not, you know, there's, Crow 777's talked about, oh, it's not him, he's basically reporting theosophical views of, what's his name, you know, Rudolf Steiner and other people, where the luminaries and the angels and these other folks, these heavenly bodies, these whatever they are, these higher level entities, don't have the will that we have, or the will meaning the ability to choose. They're kind of like stuck in what they have to do. Kind of like the daemons, you know, that are in crystals that are kind of running our computer equipment, you know, the chips or the, you know, their microchips. It's just like it's an energy that's been coerced, or by God it's limited in terms of doing exactly what it's doing unerringly without choice. Humans have the choice. We can be either in this physical plane, or we can be, you know, experiencing, like, apparently, like the heights of whatever the subtle potentials are. And that's, and I've heard some things about emotion. I don't know. Look, I've never met an angel, you know, to my knowledge. I don't know about any of that stuff. But it's, as a metaphor, it's interesting. You know, but that people have said that it's human beings have the capacity for emotional, you know, anger, fear, love, awe, things like that are what stand us apart from many other beings in the universe or in God's creation. But so in this kind of in this script of like this contest that I've been dealing with since February of 2019, and then when it came to my attention that fasting was something, was a leverage point for me to either gain or lose favor, I'm losing it here. When you go without food and you're hungry, but the hunger passes. But the problem is that food serves 100 other purposes for human beings, or, you know, people stuck in various karmic or, you know, behavioral ruts. You know, that's why there's 12-step groups for food. That's why there's Jenny Craig and all these other support group type things. You know, communities holding each other accountable so that they don't eat all the time, that there's limits on the eating. Because eating serves all these other purposes, but they're not really connecting you to the divine like a real water fast does. Especially when you are inhabited by something that's eating out your insides, like I am in, like this situation I'm in. And so when I go without food, that is an invocation from God or to God to, instead of having the energy to drive and support my physiologic existence with material inputs like an animal stuffing its face, that has no faith or real demand or hope or expectation that God will fulfill his needs. Instead, he's stuffing his face with food beyond the body's need for it and just being a glutton. When you go without food and just quietly go with just a little bit of water or a lot of water or no water, but that's it, then you are placing a bet. You are placing a, like the Japanese have these little white ribbons, little prayers, little whatever they do with these little ribbons with writing on it, and they tie it to trees, like the branches. There's like these prayer trees, these prayer shrubs. And everyone's like, you know, I don't know if it's like fortune cookies, whatever the heck they are. But it's like that. It's like you're placing a wish on like the tree of God to like send the Holy Spirit down into you to have the frontal line, to have this cord of attention from your crown to your sexual region from along the front of your body. To supersede, to transcend, to replace your gastrointestinal tract. And if you can pull that off, if God believes that that craving, that desire that wish, that sincere wish is great enough, then the floodgates will open and your crown will open and that energy will be received down into the body like, I don't know, sorry about the analogy, but you know, I'm watching this horrible movie called The Devil Conspiracy, you know, and basically the Archangel Michael comes down from above to reanimate a dead Vatican priest, probably a Jesuit. I guess they're all Jesuits. I have no idea. Anyways, probably mixing my metaphors there, but visually it looked pretty cool in the movie. I'm not recommending it. I'm just saying, look, you know, one of the devil's minions kills the priest, and then the priest begs the Archangel Michael, who apparently chained Lucifer to hell. You know, I don't know what the, if the story holds up to any account, but the movie shows the white light of the Archangel coming down. It's just a white light to imbue this just killed priest and to give it new life. But in some sense, you know, I don't know what it looks like, but I've felt the Holy Spirit come down through my crown. I know what it feels like. I just did not give it the okay. But you want, the purpose of the fasting is to show that your demand, your desire for the frontal line to supersede the gross gastrointestinal tract has to be enormous. And I still have faith that that will still, you know, weigh out or bear out in the end for me. But that's really what it is. Are you going to live by the white light of the frontal line, or just, you know, ice cream and strawberries and Ritz crackers and, you know, cheddar cheese and whatever, and coffee and whatever else you're stuffing yourself with in your gastrointestinal tract? And the average American right now is probably, you know, 30% overweight. So that means, you know, if they weigh 200 pounds, they should probably weigh 140. Well, maybe they were 20% overweight, something like that. You know, in my case, that would be about right. You know, and 15%, who knows? But certainly we're overweight, and we have no business overeating. But that's what I'm dealing with right now, and I've got certainly 25 pounds of fat that ought to be burned off, and I'm feeding that fat daily. So that's what I want to talk. I want to have a paragraph about the frontal line versus the as being a higher order of expression, but not symmetrical, but related, similar, a mirror. Anyway, it's a higher order representation or function, and it's as the gastrointestinal. And anyway, so I choked out. So these symptoms today, I was going to fast. In the last couple of nights hiking, I'm watching that disc go down, the sun. I'm sorry, I'm saying his name again, Crow 777. There's a lot of episodes of his like 550 radio shows that you should check out. They're worth your time. He's not the only person out there. He has, emotionally, he's kind of, I don't know, whatever. Look, I'm not going to get at him. The content is the content. He's not really an emotional type of person. He's more of a ponderous, sort of intellectual, you know, what's the word for it, philosophical kind of a inquirer. He's not this sort of shoot from the hip, you know, impulsive, whirling dervish that's more like my flow. But, you know, you need to take information from that resonates and helps, and if you're honest, and he's talked about things that I never thought about, and is helping to maintain a body of knowledge that honestly has been there's been a concerted effort to bury and destroy our collective knowledge over the years. I'm pretty certain of that. And that's why we don't know shit about where we are or what we are or the purpose of our existence, and everything's just upside down. And it's all, you know. So I'm looking at the sun, and apparently the sun's very important. And the sun, you want to be thinking about the sun when you die and not the moon. I don't know, that may or may not be true, but the sun's important. You want to get eye contact with the sun daily. You want to have some sun on you every day. And I'm looking at that sun for several minutes, you know, not straight on. That's not good for you. You have to study, you know, sun therapy or, you know, sun gazing to learn more about it. But there's a whole world of it, whole world of knowledge on it, if you can find it. And I'm praying that I want God's help to strengthen me, to show me, to give me discernment, to help me overcome this thing in me, and to give me the strength to do the right things, to earn the Holy Spirit's favor, and to not die with this inverted energy within me. I want it gone. Although the older I get and things I've been through recently, I just don't know that that's going to happen. I feel like I'm stuck with this thing. You know, that's the way I've been feeling more so, which is sad. Anyways, so I'm fasting, I last ate maybe 8 o'clock at night, and it's 11:30 this morning, and I had purchased some star fruit and local star fruit and local organic oranges at the organic grocery store, and I'm getting my IV EDTA chelation, and then I end up eating, rolling into the bathroom with my IV, my IV bag hanging above me, and I gave the nurse the nicest, ripest star fruit, and I had about 4 of the other ones, and I think just halfway into the first one, a spire of etheric energy, painful etheric energy, hits my, from outside me, pierces my skin and goes into my sinoatrial node. It's not a strong impact, but it's a sharp, tiny one. Just to let me know that, bro, you're fucking up. Huh? You're fucking up. You're eating right now. You stupid son of a bitch. You know what? This is it. You know, I've got my cloak wrapped around you. You are in a death grasp. And, hey, I'm just doing God's dirty work here. And, you know what? Yeah, you're supposed to be a great yogi. Well, guess what? You are a fucking casualty. You're toast. You're toast. And if you continue to eat the star fruit, well, guess what? God's grace is going to be even farther away from you. And I'm going to have nothing but license to ruin you. But you know what? There I am. And guess what? If I'm an automaton like this succubus is, the succubus just follows the rules, all right? For the most part, I can't say it, but I'm going to say that that's what she does. And she has to let me know. She has to give me warnings that I'm doing the wrong thing. And me, my mind is like, you know what? I'm beyond this game. You know what? You have no business in me. It's on God that you're in me. You know what? I was not ready for you. I did not fuck you. You have no business in me. You had sex with another guy. What the fuck are you tied up inside of me for? I did not sign up for this. You know, whatever I requested with that little burst from my brachial plexus that night to your astral body as it like passed over me. It's like, you know what? I did not knowingly sign up for this. And my out should not have been a heart-centered consciousness given the proximity of the cell tower there. And what I was willing to do in this life was to only go as far as was safe to go. I've been very conservative. I mean, I went pretty far. You know, hiking 5 hours a night after work in my first years teaching on Oahu, pursuing an inflated subtle energy system, basically getting so high, breathing and focusing and hiking and just doing, you know, the honey and the organic fruits, and I would, you know, whatever I was eating and doing, trying to, as I've written, achieve an activation energy where some fundamental shift would take place at God's direction. I wasn't going to guide this intellectually. My body would show me the way. And so my body was not going to be safe. God had given me no indication that I could coexist with cell towers, and that if I were to have any life where I could earn an income, the only way I would remotely give whole body enlightenment a chance would be if I had an EMF safe living circumstance. And I had not achieved it yet. I had all these, you know, the modular room was a bust with the metal, you know, the metal modular room that I had constructed for $50,000. What a shit show that was. But I had all the paints, you know, maybe $8,000 or more of the GeoVital T98 graphite and carbon paints, and the mesh material for the ducts and other areas, and then this Nova fabric curtains, which are like, I guess, copper and silver filaments, I mean threads spun, I mean with encased in like little polymer, like encapsulated. So it was like this, you know, this like gauze. It was an electromagnetically protective gauze that would go over the windows and would allow light to come in, but lower frequency stuff, much of it would be blocked. Anyways, I hadn't put that up yet. So I didn't know. I didn't know that I would have any... I did not want to risk not being able to live at that house and not being able to have a job. If I were to become more so sensitive that I could no longer tolerate modern existence, having to live out of my car in the desert somewhere, that I wasn't going to risk it. I needed to have the shielded room set up. Period. And I paid the price for that priority. I did not want to take a chance that whole body consciousness, you know, this great gift from God, I wasn't going to take a chance that I was going to crash and burn with that. I didn't, you know, I've been able to live, you know, 4.5, coming up on 5 years. So I've had 5 years of life with this thing inside of me. It's taken 15 years off my life already, I believe. you know, that's the price I've paid. And I don't know that I have another year left in me. But I'll get to that in a minute. But I've been crying wolf on that for some time now. But it's real. So yeah, humans have freedom of choice, and I made my choice, and I stood against very clear guidance from the Holy Spirit. You know, what did I estimate? 10 or 15 lightning bolts down through my crown, into my chest, over the course of 2 evenings. Each one of them capable of grounding my mind, my consciousness into my chest, and whatever revelations and shifts occur in that. But that would have been protective and would have been a barrier to the succubus taking up residence within me. I have no doubt about that. I will go to the bank on that one. And so I was, the third morning after I kicked her out, that Monday morning, that's when the hostile consciousness came into me. And anyway, so this thing, every time I eat, it lets me know, if it's paying attention, that that's the wrong thing, sends a shock to me. And I don't want to play the game. So I feel like, you know what? No. I'm eating. Fuck off. I'm enjoying this star fruit. And fuck off. Thank you very much. In my mind, I feel like, you know what? This is all fucked. I don't have a response. I should be able to eat right now. You guys, both of you, go fuck off. You know. And that's not the right attitude. Obviously. Do I regret? I don't know. I'm happy to deliver information. Hopefully it gets to some people. You know, this is definitely something real. Whether it's a path that other people will experience, I don't know. But, you know, maybe someday someone will confirm this. Confirm this in a way of like a recording, you know, recording it. We have a record of our collective, you know, spiritual experiences, mapping out these potentials. Another side note is I buy so many books in my Kindle library. I probably have about, 1,300, 1,400 titles. Probably a couple hundred, at least 100 of them are like Arctic exploration, mountain exploration, oceanic exploration, crossing America, with the Native Americans, back in the 1600s or earlier, whenever it is that happened. I like all these very old accounts of people truly showing heroism and a willingness to explore uncharted areas beyond the help of like a cell phone or a book that, shows you how it was done already. I mean, groundbreaking, brave, heroic, strong, risk-taking stuff that's expanding the realm of human knowledge. And that's what I wanted to do. And so at each step of the way, I've been willing to record what happened and relay it. And so I get satisfaction in that. Even a mistake that I've made, it's still worthy of note, and hopefully it'll help people, help them prevent their own ignorance or, you know, missteps of their own. Yeah, so, yeah, just the attacks on me when I begin to eat, or, you know, if she's getting frustrated, like, this is just bizarre, you know. I think last night, what was it, last night? Yeah, I had, like, two banana, in the last, let's say, 4 hours before bed, I do an hour and a half walk, and all I eat is maybe 2 oranges and 2 bananas. In like 4 hours, you know, that's being pretty, you know, with an hour and a half hike, you know, that's being pretty good, right? And so it's like 8 o'clock, 8:45, you know, I'm lights out, I'm going night, and pretty soon, you know, the heart racing's kicking up, and maybe 45 minutes into that, you know, I'm trying to deal with that, breathe and contract against it. And it moderates, it slows down, because she's got to get to sleep. It's like, you know, what is it? It's past midnight her time. I guess she's got some stuff she had to do today. But I'll probably get my ass served to me tonight. And I'm weakening. My elasticity of my skin, my blood vessels, I think it's all weakening. I'm at risk of cardiac failure, I believe, or some cardiovascular dysfunction of some sort, but you know, I'm just not, the integrity of my body is not what it needs to be or was. And but so, okay, so the heart racing and stuff, it's dying down. It wasn't the brutality that maybe Sunday and Monday nights were, where it just went on for hours and hours and hours. And as she's kind of, you know, usually when she gets frustrated and the heart control is not really doing much for her, then it's easier for her to just go after my esophagus. So my esophagus then immediately starts to like generate acid, and there's like pressure on my stomach, or irritation at near my tonsils or behind my thymus gland, and I get acid reflux, and it's like, okay, what I want to do is eat to kind of wash down the acid there. But it's just from her overstimulation of the area with her energy, negative energy, because she's basically housed in the heart and then can disrupt my body's functioning at will. So the acid stuff, and then what else? A whole bunch of attacks on my joints. And today, yeah, after I ate, then I had two of these like chocolate nut bars that the health clinic had, the doctor's office had. So an hour and a half, or an hour after the star fruit, I have something heavier when I should have been fasting. And pretty much as soon as I had one of those, they're small, but still, it's more dead, you know, more processed food. I then immediately had an attack on my right joint from inside the joint, and then also a spire of energy piercing my skin into that muscle, and then making my right bicep go weak, and then also, you know, my left hip and right hip, I felt energy coming down from the edges of my rib cage to connect with my hip and to get my hip socket all tightened and tweaked out. You know, that happened also while I was sitting in the chair with the IV going into me after I'd eaten. None of that had happened prior to my eating the star fruit. So I'd gone from basically 8 p.m. to 11:30 a.m. pretty much fine, except for kind of a conscious funk. You know, just this ennui and a lack of clarity that she can just sort of envelop me in. And it became much more, it worsened and became more of a physiologic problem in terms of my joints and whatnot. But that only happened after I ate. And so, you know, whatever, you know, God, this is what you want. And I'm sorry, you know, I've got way too much on my plate. I don't feel like fasting. I have so much to do. I've got like 2 years of taxes to do. I've got IEPs, special ed paperwork coming out of my, you know what? I've got, you know, my mother's and my own will I got to, you know, do on this, you know, Quicken software. I got a million things I need to be doing. I don't have time to be lying on my bed and dealing with, you know, this contest with a girl whose father is apparently paying her rent, letting her stay at the house. It feels to me like she's working maybe 3 afternoons a week, 4 hours. I don't really know. And she's probably told him if he doesn't pay her bill, she's going to come join this, you know, this 40-year-old guy that she has, he has forbidden her of dating, to, you know, to date, being me. Not that, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that would be easily enough leverage for Dad to pay her bills for the next 15 years if that's what it takes to keep her from, you know, dating an older white guy, which would just, you know, just be the last thing this Latin father would want to see his daughter do. But, you know, he has no idea what the whims of spirit, you know, are and where they can take you. But, you know, our relationship's a calamity as it is. There's been no demonstration on God's or this girl's part to date that any alteration of the destructive ends of this course, you know, that any alteration is possible. It seems to be a one-way thing. You know, this is just God's got rules, and this is the karmic response. This is what it is, and there's only one path out, and that is one of us has got to go. And the rule is I need to show extraordinary resolve, and I guess fasting is it. And to be honest, yeah, I think I've mentioned this before. An emotional entreaty. You know, if I were to break down and cry and beg for forgiveness and just cry in tears and just, you know, heartfelt, you know, deliver me God, this is horrible, blah, blah, blah. But I'm not going to go there. I'm sorry, I'm not going to lie. God, I'm not going to lie. I'm upset. I'm angry. At least partly angry. I don't deserve this. This is fucked. I'm sorry. That's how I feel. So I'm not going to cry and beg for forgiveness. In the path that I've set before myself is, you know, I'm going to, you know, I've got to be the ascetic yogi, which is not my thing. If I had nothing else going on in my life, if I were retired, I might be able to pull it off. But the worldly responsibilities that I have, it's probably beyond my ability. And then I'm in much worse shape than I was 3 years ago, physically. So I don't know. The physiologic, etheric burden of getting rid of her was bad enough 3 years ago. I had a hard enough sustaining that then. I don't even know that, you know, with her hooks so deep into me that as they are right now, that I'd even be able to extricate her without killing myself. But you know, I am a purist, you know, I am, you know, I'm sort of a romantic, given that we can't coexist, apparently, because every time I try to ignore her and just sort of go about my business, nah, nope, nope, you know, God's got me, her on a mission, I have to die, everything she's doing's got to be ratcheted up, I have to be giving this thing attention and fighting all the time. Because she has to muck up and get in the way of anything I'm doing. You know, it can't be a light drain. It can't be a light obstruction. It's got to always take it to the next level. God wants resolution. And so, I'm, you know, I am, yeah, I'm a zealot. I'm a zealot. For truth. And, you know, if I have to die to get rid of her, if this body expires in that attempt, so be it. Because she doesn't belong in me. I've tried many, many ways, and if God's not willing to help me more than he has to get rid of her, that's on God. And, yeah. I do still hope that I can fast a couple days. You know, I was hoping at least go like one day fasting, one day not, something, whatever. Something where I'm getting down in weight and I'm experiencing ketosis or, you know, what's the word for it when the body is repairing itself and, you know, cells are regenerating and, you know, the body's healing. And you do that when you go without food for extended periods of time, you know, some serious intermittent fasting. And that would be like, if I'm eating every other day, that would be a pretty solid path. I don't know how that would relate to, you know, my experience where God usually shows up for an immune system enhancement on a spiritual level, you know, 8 to 11 days in is usually when, it's the handful of times I've experienced it, that's when it happened. So I don't know what a shorter time frame, you know, shorter duration fast, but more frequently, more frequent cycles of, I'm not sure what that would do for the appearance of spiritual support. So I've been blathering now for 73 minutes. I wish everyone success on their path. Listen to your heart. Listen to your inner voice. Listen to your body. Be kind to the body. Massage it. Feed it well. Give it nourishing sleep and exercise and outdoor natural immersion. Try to have a whole body, mind, spirit resonance where you know what to do. You know what's right. It'll get better with time. Try to align yourself with people and viewpoints that have integrity, have compassion, but have truth and resonate with you. And if you need to withdraw from certain people, do it. Be careful about who is in your space, because the wrong people can interfere with your own body's coherence, body-mind coherence. So you want to limit your contact with people who don't align with you. You don't want to live in a bubble, but you know what? You know, maybe 4 hours a day, you're around people who you don't agree with, and you're doing that for an income. Okay, maybe 8 hours at most. And even when you're doing that, try to find groups of people that you're around in the course of employment that are not so toxic to you, or that the amount of interaction you have with them is not so extensive that it opens you up and makes you so vulnerable. You know, that is, if you don't have to share too much, then it, the fact that you don't resonate much with them won't have as much of a transaction cost for you. And pray. Prayer is dreaming. Prayer is daydreaming, where you're letting your mind and body and soul kind of cohere and drift and coalesce and bring you to new vantage points, where you synthesize things on a deep level. Supposedly, Albert Einstein came up with, you know, E equals MC squared when he was shaving. Maybe that's an urban legend, a myth, but the point being that it's when your mind is not on something directly that it can actually bring together diverse sources of information and perspective within you into a coherent mission, a coherent purpose. So I'm, you know, may God bless all people, all spiritual aspirants who seek Him or her or it with purity of heart. May we all seek the enlightenment of all beings who, you know, seek God's truth, God's grace. And may you be successful on your path as a as God deems fit. Yeah, and that's about it. Wish all of you good luck on your path. May you discover what you need to discover. And may you help others on in their journeys in this world. Thank you, God. We are definitely all in this together. Amen.